Good afternoon to all of you. It's good to see you again. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a blessed day. Oh, glory. So thankful to God for another great opportunity to be together. It's not by accident. Our God is a good God. He is always working for the good of His children. He is so good, good at all times. If you testify to this truth, say, that is why I love Him all the times. One more time. That is why I love Him all the times, because He is so, so good all the time. What a great confession, if you really believe it. Yes, His faithfulness endureth forever. His unfailing love, when even our flesh or our minds are resisting it or opposing this fact, that His love is unfailing, His faithfulness endureth forever. Yet, we hold on to that truth. For we do not live or walk by sight, but by faith. Yes, our mighty warrior, God Almighty, El Shaddai, He has brandished His spear and javelin and pursued our enemies. We are thankful that we are safe on this battleground now and always. For victory is assured for the children of God. It is working for us. We do not need to worry, because it has been decided. At all times, in the valley and atop of the mountains, through the flood, through the fire, God is working for the good of His children. Give Him praise. Father, we really appreciate You this morning, or rather this afternoon. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for enabling us to stand firm in these times, in these times of the end times. Thank You, Jesus Christ, our salvation and hope. Thank You, Abba Father, You are always working for the good of Your children in all circumstances, anytime and in every place. Hallelujah, we give You praise. We give You praise, O God. Father, teach us Your word. Speak as Your servant. Listen and cause our hearts to heed what You are going to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. May I briefly acknowledge and thank the body of Christ inside this country and outside this country. Thank you for praying for us. Thanks to our family and friends that are checking on us. Yes, we are all doing very well here by His grace. It is really comforting and encouraging to know loved ones are having you back, praying for you. We are also so thankful to the intercessors here in HICF and intercessors across this country and outside this country. Thank you for interceding. Thank you for standing in the gap. God is a faithful rewarder. Results are coming, testimonies are coming in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Yes, certainly the enemy had made a wrong move, and his wrong move at this time had done us good. Somebody say amen. At this time of physical confinement, we have been awakened to our responsibility, watchfulness. We have been fired, inspired, and spurred on. At this time, many hearts are turning to God. At this time, God is speaking and many are listening and heeding to Him. At this time, the unity in the body is getting stronger and stronger. Though we couldn't meet in a physical building, we now have moved into the spiritual realm in the air, having meeting, Sunday worship services, prayer meetings, hallelujah, whichever way it is working for us, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. The church is marching on. We are unstoppable. We will keep on pressing until we'll hear him say, "Well done, faithful servant." Until we see Jesus lifted up in this land. Until we see Jesus in the lives of our brothers and sisters. Until every tongue and every knee bow and confess Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior to the glory and praise of the Father in heaven. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let us not be weary in doing good. The doing good here is to bring the gospel good news to the dying world, to our communities, to our friends, in our workplace, in our schools, in our dormitories. The good news, he said, "Go ye therefore into the world." Where is the world? The world around you, the world in your dormitory, the world in your on the street. Hallelujah. It is a great opportunity in this time to send words of healing to the sick from our confined locations. Though we are restricted physically, but our anointed words are powerful, breaking through barriers, opening the prison doors. Amen. Yes, from our confinement and locations, we continue to send the living word, which is a hammer to scatter, to shatter the stronghold of the enemy. Yes, our words are powerful. We send them out under the anointing of God as consuming fire into the camps of the enemy. Yes, we will continue to send the word of God from our position to confuse them and cast down every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of our God Almighty. Yes, we pray, let the angels of the Lord chase them on their slippery grounds, falling into the pits they dug for us. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We will no longer keep quiet. We will advance. We will not wait until when they strike. We are advancing. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Somebody say amen. Yes, they will no longer say, "Aha, aha. See, we have swallowed them up. We got them. Just what we say is what is happening." They will no longer say, "Aha, aha," to us. But we shall declare, "The Lord has delivered us from them, and we shall see them no more." Just as Israelites saw the Egyptians no more. Hallelujah. It is time. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay, let's quickly go to the sermon today. Those of you that gathered this past Wednesday for prayer meeting, we're asking the mother, the mom in the house, the first lady, if you will, for another beautiful story this Sunday. Well, I promise there will be another story today. I guess you are happy. But I would like to ask one question. Which story do you want? True story or fictional story? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mom titled her message last week, "Don't Fall in Love with a Liar." Last week was around Valentine's Day. We here in HSCF celebrate the love of God and the love within us. True. The agape love that is our foundation. Hallelujah. She beautifully laid a fictional story how a princess fell in love at first sight with a prince and thereafter left the safety of her kingdom to live with her newfound love. After living in this fantasy of being a goddess for many years, things started to crumble. It is now a marriage. It is not all that glitters is gold, but it was too late for this princess. She has fallen in love with a beast, a liar, and it's like impossible to turn back. Now there are many things from that sermon, that beautiful sermon. I'll try to just fix my eyes or focus on two. One, don't fall for the lie of the enemy that God is boring. Christianity is very strict, full of don'ts and do's. But the truth of the matter, how can our God be a boring God? How can a God that created varieties, colors of different kinds, made the stars, the seas, the oceans, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, how can such a God be a boring one? Look at the varieties of animals. Look at the different types of clouds, different stars, galaxies, flowers of different kinds. Come on, don't fall for the lie of the enemy. Our God is full of fun. That is why we love Him. The second point that she made that I want to share here is don't fall for the lie of the enemy, that there is still time. He said he will tell you, yes, believe. You believe God is there. You believe in it. You believe there is time to die. But for now, you are young. Take all the time. Brothers, sisters, you know better. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, today, I want to give you a true story, not a fiction. It is not that kind of love kind of that story the mom gave last week. A princess, fairy tales. Even though the lessons were drawn. Yes, thank God for moms. God used them to describe or teach about His love. Sometimes He referred to Himself as a mother. But we also want to thank God for fathers in the house. They are there to train us to be men of valor. To be strong. The fact is that you don't want to continue taking milk. There is time for bones. Tell somebody, it is time to chew bones. It is time, you know, when mom will say, you have to eat that broccoli, cauliflower, apples. No longer hamburger today. You have to chew that garlic. It is time. Look, even mama, if you refuse to chew bones, will start praying for you. Hallelujah. There is time for milk food, but another time to chew bones. Hallelujah. Yes, as I've said, the story is about war, casualties, collateral damages. Stories about betrayal and treason. The story is about removing disgrace, shame. The story is about a diehard. However, the story is about restoration. The story is about moving on victoriously. So much packed in this story. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to sit and listen. Sit down still and listen to this story. It's not a new story. It's something that you have read several times. I'm trusting that God will speak to you from a different perspective. Our story is taken from the book of Joshua. You know Joshua, the successor of Moses, the great prophet, the deliverer of Israelites from Egypt. God used him to deliver the Israelites. Joshua took after Moses departed to complete the journey into the promised land. Time will not allow us to read all the scriptures, but I will ask you to sit on Joshua chapter 7 as we will be going back and forth on that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The theme of the sermon is the time repentance may be too late. The time repentance may be too late. The time repentance may be too late. What time will that be? What time will that be when repentance will be too late? Why do you want to know what time is it? You will never know that time. You will only know it when it happens. It will come suddenly. That time comes suddenly. However, I will advise you from the bottom of my heart, from what the scripture admonishes, the time of repentance is now. You recall the story of the 10 virgins, the foolish 5. They ran, got the oil. The lamps were bright, but they could not get in. Too late to repent. God, deliver us from living a life of holiness without wisdom. These virgins were virgins, symbolic of purity, holiness, but they were foolish. May the Lord deliver us from a life of holiness without wisdom. You also recall the great flood in Noah's time. When it started raining heavily, they all ran to the ark. They are now ready to enter the ark. They now believe and very earnest, they want to enter. Well, from one of the sermon scripture readings, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 27 to 29, I'll read to your hearing. When your dread comes like a storm and your destruction like a wild wind, when distress and anguish overwhelm you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will earnestly seek me, but will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you fear the Lord, a reverent fear, you will heed. You will love knowledge. You will love wisdom. You will be obedient to Him. From our life experiences, when you lose opportunities, and thereafter you realize your foolishness, and you turn to God, asking God for another chance, but the situation refused to change. It's gone. You can have it again. It's too late. However, in life, practically, you will still have the opportunity to move on. We should not be stuck in one place. Get out of the pit. Get out of that mess. Take a wash and continue. However, be warned, don't take the grace of God for granted. Take to heart the warning from the one who loves you. He will not deceive you. That there is still time while there is no time. It is the enemy. I never fall to his lies. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now digging, we're going deeper into the story of today. The story is centered around a young Israelite soldier in the book of Joshua. That same chapter, chapter 7, actually from chapter 6 through to chapter 7, about the main character of our story. When the children of Israel, led by Joshua, crossed over the Jordan River, there were thousands of them. They lived together as families, as we do today. but each family lived in a tent instead of a house. I don't know which one you prefer, tent or a fixed structure. The spiritual aspect of tents is to remind us this world is not our home. And when all the families of one tribe came together, when they marched, they rolled up their tents and carried them. When they stopped for the night, they put up their tents. Living in one of these tents was a man named Achan from the tribe of Judah. The great-great-grandson of Judah. Judah is one of the 12 sons of Israel, Jacob, if you will. Achan is among the new military generation of Israel that were born during their movement from Egypt, when they came out of Egypt into the promised land. He's within the military age of 20. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 29 to 32, talks about the military age. Achan was a fine soldier. It is good to note here that the military that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness because of their rebellion against Jehovah. The cowardice they displayed when the panic-stricken spies made their exaggerated report, but only Caleb and Joshua stood and gave an exceptional good report. Achan saw the great miracle of the crossing of River Jordan. Achan was among the circumcised at Gilgal, where God rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Achan was among the soldiers that conquered Jericho. We all know the story of Jericho, chapter 6 of Joshua. We know all about the commands given. The 7 times walking round and round and shouting, and then the fortified walls came down. Achan had the command very clear about burning everything but to keep away from devoted things. In chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 18 to 19. But keep away from devoted things so that you will not bring about your destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Verse 19. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Somebody say, devoted things to the Lord. Say, keep away from the devoted things to God. Question I would like to ask here. How many believe that you are not your own? How many believe that you are not your own? If you need a proof, as a Christian, if you need a proof as a Christian, I will give you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. I said if you need a proof as a Christian, because we Christians believe in the word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. We will talk more about devotedness, which we are stealing or misusing later. Anyway, we know very well Achan did not obey this command. He stole the devoted things. Verse 21 of Joshua chapter 7. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of golden weighted 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. He hid the bounty where no one can see but God. Maybe he didn't remember that. Am I talking to you? A day is coming. The revealer will reveal it. Nothing under the sun will be hidden. And it will start from here, not until when we get to heaven. Where we read, Achan said what? He saw, coveted, and took. He saw, coveted, and took. Oh my God. Can you hear that echo back in Genesis? The devil at work again. He saw, and it was good to his eyes, and then he took. Sounded like who in Genesis? Yes, you will say Eve. Oh my God, it didn't sound like you. It didn't sound like you or me. How did you get into that mess you are in now? God is talking to you. God is speaking to you. The problem we have, we see, we covet, and we take. The apple was good to the eyes. Pleasing. She coveted what? To be God. She took and ate. Let's move on. Achan was probably among the 300 sent to Ai, where Israel was humiliated in defeat at the hands of a tiny city of Ai. 36 of them died. And they were confused. The heart of the people sank. All spirit knocked out of them. There was fear of attack from the surrounding nations. Joshua and the leaders were confused. They lay before God. In verse 6, Joshua ripped his clothes and fell on his face to the ground before the chest of God. He and the leaders throwing that on their heads, prostrate until evening. It was this defeat that exposed who really is Achan. Brothers and sisters, as I have said, nothing under the sun will remain hidden. A day is coming. Who really you are. Who really I am. The irony is that the world is now exposing themselves, proud to defend for who they are. But we Christians, who ought to be the light, a city on a hill to shine, we are the ones hiding. We are the ones doing it in secret because of hypocrisy. The world seems better in this aspect. They are not hypocrites. Gay pride. One of the candidates in the United States running for the presidency is a gay. They are not ashamed. It is their right. It's their choice. Why you as a Christian cannot be proud of your choice? Why? Oh, pray this prayer with me. God, please expose the hypocrites among us. We don't want the collateral damages of hypocrites among us. In Jesus' name, amen. What else do we know about Achan? In 1 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 7, it says, the son of Carmi, Achan, who brought trouble on Israel by violating the ban on taking devoted things. Achan, not Achan here, means a troubler. I wonder what a mother could give a son a name, troubler. Well, if you look through the genealogy of what we have of Achan's vision, it is like he's carrying a curse, or he learned it from his parents, from his brothers. Briefly, let me say something about Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Judah went and married a Canaanite woman. Unfortunately, he ended up sleeping with his daughter-in-law, who gave birth to twins, Zerah and Perez. Achan descended from Zerah. first two sons of Judah were struck to death because of their wickedness, because of sin. So there is kind of a link there. Maybe he was influenced by their lives. Who knows? Anyway, let's continue. So Joshua and the leaders were there throughout in the evening. Joshua petitioned God, and God responded in verse 10 to 14. Let's read that. God said to Joshua, "Get up! Why are you groveling? Israel has sinned. They have broken the covenant I commanded them. They have taken forbidden plunder, stolen, and then covered up the theft, squirreling it away with their own stuff. The people of Israel can no longer look their enemies in the eye. They themselves are plunder. I cannot continue with you if you don't rid yourself of the cursed things. So get started. Purify the people," in other words, consecrate in some version. "Tell them, get ready for tomorrow by purifying yourselves. For this is what God, the God of Israel, says. There are cursed things in the camp. You won't be able to face your enemies until you have gotten rid of these cursed things." At this point, let me just summarize some few things. What is the takeaway from our discussion so far and from the reading of these scriptures? Number one, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing escapes His watchful eye. Just because nobody is talking about it doesn't mean it is not known to God. The pastor, the prophet, dad, and mom may miss it. People may miss it. Your friends may miss it. Nobody will understand what is happening. Why are things failing in the house of God? Why are things not working? But God knows. Nothing is escape His watchful eyes. Be warned, we will all give account of everything we have done in the body, now or later. Point number two, all sin is forced against God. All sin is forced against God. Remember Joseph? He said, when Potiphar's wife wanted to have him to sleep with her, he said, "I can't sin against my God," before even talking about Potiphar, her husband. Sin is against God first. And God will always protect His name. Even when you don't know what is happening, God knows, because it is Him that it is affecting. Yes, you are the primary object, but you are also affecting the body. Go through verses 10 to 14 where we read, God did not mention Achan's name, but said, "They, Israel, have sinned. They have taken forbidden plunder. The people of Israel can no longer look their enemies in the eye. They themselves are plunder. I cannot continue with you if you don't get rid yourselves of the cursed things." He said, "There are cursed things in the camp. You won't be able to face your enemies until you have gotten rid of these cursed things." It's not about you. Yes, it is your life. But that life belongs to God. We are part of that body of Christ. While the plural usage, well, if a Zambia or Nigeria or an American does something bad, they refer to you by your country, even though you are the one facing the consequences, but you brought shame to your country. We know it better when a team goes out, military, sport, or academic contest. Whatever happens, lost or win, it is always referred to the group, not to an individual. You want any more example? When you hit your finger while hammering a nail into a wall or a wood, is it only your finger that hurts or suffers? No, your whole body writhes in pain. Brothers and sisters, the fact is your lifestyle, your testimony is affecting the body of Christ. The world is saying, you Christians lie, you Christians gossip, Christians are pretenders. Why? Because of the way we live. Stop saying, it is my life. Your life in reality does not belong to you. If you truly believe your life is from God, then you belong to the body of Christ. You can do whatever pleases you. Hallelujah. Now that brings us to the next question. What are you doing with the devoted things of God? What are you doing with the devoted things of God? We saw what devoted things Eka had. What are the devoted things that you have? As we said, how many believe that you are not your own? Your soul, your spirit and body. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what makes up your body, your hands, your feet, eyes. Your mouth. What are you doing with those things? There's that song. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes. What you see, ears, what you hear. Your mouth. Be careful with what comes out of that mouth. Your sexual organs. What are you using it for? Your mind, your brain, your heart. What are you storing in it? And what is coming out of them? Your stomach. Unfortunately, your stomach has become a vat of every junk. And that is why your body is failing you. You are ashamed of your weight. And you are angry with people that tell you the truth. You are fat. You say it is not polite. You prefer the lies. The Bible says, let's speak the truth to one another. But not only when a person is fat, you tell him. In every area, let's speak the truth to one another. Amen. Your internal organs, you are destroying them because of addiction. How about things outside of your soul, your spirit and body, your property, your wealth? The Word of God tells us everything we have is a gift from God and all belongs to God. Yes, you may say, my hand worked out for me, my strength, my abilities. Yes, it is God still who gives you life. Without life, what can you do? It is God who brings the growth, the increase. It is Him that blesses the work of our hands. Hallelujah. The next point is a warning. Taking God devoted things for yourself can turn out to be a curse. Let's go back to verse 12. Verse 12 says, the people of Israel can no longer look their enemies in the eye. They themselves are plunder. I cannot continue with you if you don't get rid yourselves of what? The cursed things. What are those cursed things? From the beginning, devoted things, sacred things for the treasury of God. Verse 12 says, again, there are cursed things in the camp. Now, do you get it? When you take God's devoted things for yourself, for your selfishness, be careful. They will turn out to be a curse for you. Remember the manna in the desert when they were warned not to keep? It became maggots. Let's be careful in using what God has entrusted us with. Amen. Let me kind of deviate a bit in order to alert us in some things we are ignorant. Sometimes the enemy attack your devoted things. It is not because you have sinned. He is always running around seeking whom to kill, to destroy. He is always throwing fiery darts. You have the responsibility to rebuke him. Don't allow the devil to plant seeds of disease leading to terminal disease in your life. You have the responsibility to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Uproot every seed of disease the enemy has planted in your body. Your body is a temple of God. He has no business with it. Now I want to pray with any one of you that is sick. Two prayers here. Lord Jesus, every seed of disease the enemy had planted as an attack in my life, I now uproot it. Let it be destroyed. I command it to be out of my body in the name of Jesus. You pray that prayer. Every seed of disease you enemy have planted as an attack to me, I uproot it. I destroy it. I command it to be out of my body right now in the name of Jesus. Now, second prayer is this. Every seed of disease you enemy have planted as an attack to me because of my sin or ignorance, you have taken advantage of me. I now repent to my Maker. Lord Jesus, forgive my sin of rebellion and ignorance that have resulted to my sickness, all diseases, all infirmities, both the known and unknown. Wash me, Lord. Make me whole in Jesus' name. Now continue. Satan, I command you, take your disease and infirmity in this body of mine and on this body of mine. The word of God tells me if I confess my sin, God is faithful and just. He will forgive me. And I believe he has forgiven me. And I command you in the name of Jesus, take off your hands from me. Get out in the name of Jesus and never return in any form again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Give him praise in the house of God. I stand with you, brothers, sister, as a witness. And seal that prayer, that healing in Jesus' name. Testimony is sure to follow. And don't fail to testify. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly, the next point is, don't ignore the warning of opportunity to make it right. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Are we together? Amen. Next point. Don't ignore the warning, the opportunity to make it right while there is time. Today is the day of salvation. Verse 13. It says what? Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemy until you remove them. Now Achan was given ample time to repent, but refused. God gave him every opportunity. God, patience means repentance. I want you to note something here. God is always giving us opportunity to repent. He's not interested in the death of a sinner. Achan had the opportunity till the next morning. Opportunity to consecrate, to purify himself. To repent. What other opportunity he has? God said it's going to be tribe by tribe. There are many tribes. Clan by clan, many clans. Family by family, many families. Man by man, one after the other.
These are all opportunities God was given Achan. And then it followed with that warning. Whoever is caught with the devoted things in verse 15 shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belong to him. All these opportunities and warnings Achan ignored. And the following morning, Joshua did as he was told by the Lord, yet Achan was not moved. He refused. Wow, Achan is a real diehard. Don't be a diehard. Don't ignore the warning of God. Achan refused to repent until he was caught red-handed. There are many like that. No matter what you do with them to tell you the truth, they will not until you catch their hand in the cookie jar. Remember once again, man may not see, but you can hide it from God. You may be smart, but no one sees. Let me say something here that is very important. You see, for lack of better way of putting it, God seems to be more concerned about repentance than the sin committed. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm just trying to show you how God's love is towards us than the punishment. Yes, sin is sin, and God will always punish unconfessed sin. You see, God knew what Achan was planning in his heart before even he set out. So also he knows before you go ahead to do that thing today or tomorrow. You see, God does not have to go tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family, man by man, before he could identify Achan. It was all the Father's love. He wants you to just own up by yourself and repent. God always won. He could have allowed the 3,000 to die, but he let 36 casualties. Will it take time to examine yourself? I'm not saying that every problem you have in your life is as a result of sin, but it does no harm for you to be checking yourself when things are going wrong. The scripture admonishes us to do so. Examine yourself daily. Achan was given all the opportunity because God loves and wish him to repent, but he had in his heart. What else will God do with you if you had in your heart is to leave you? Yes, leave you. But to whom? Because that was your choice. You want him to leave you. He gave you choice. You refuse. He leaves you to who? To destruction. To the path you have chosen. Will it be wrong for him to allow your choice? He never forces anyone. You know, I was pondering why Achan was so hard. You see, one of the underlying problems is lack of honor and reverent fear of God. And this is typical of not only Achan, but it applies to many today. You see, Ecclesiastes says, the whole duty of a man is fear God and keep his command. Achan did not fear God. There was no fear of God in his heart. You see, while the unbelieving inhabitants fear God, the Bible said their hearts melted when the kings of Amorites and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, saw the river Jordan, which was a sure barrier of defense for them, dried up. Their hearts melted. Achan saw that. These nations were completely paralyzed The drying up of River Jordan was a proof that God was on the side of the invaders, the Israelites, if you will. Yet Achan had no fear for God. There is a mighty God who sees everything, who has the power. Remember also, Achan was among those asked to consecrate themselves before the morning. Consecration here means to repent. Purification means to repent, to cleanse yourself of all sins. I believe he did that. He followed the instructions. Am I speaking to someone here? Unfortunately, I believe there are Achans in our churches. Yes, you are in the church serving or attending church services every day. You have heard the speaker repeatedly talking about the love of God and calling to repentance. And yet, you are still the same. Be careful. Time of repentance may be late. Maybe too late indeed. Look at the trouble Achan brought on his people. The same thing in our churches today. Because you are taking devoted things for selfish purposes, for selfish use, the world is now charging on the church because of Achans in the congregation. We need to pray and ask God to expose the Achan in our midst. We don't want them to be burnt or destroyed, but to be exposed, to be put to shame, to serve as a caution or warning to others. Yes, let the Achans in our midst be exposed to repentance so that they will be restored. Finally, brothers and sisters, it is true, the time of repentance may be too late. When God showed Achan up from tribe, clan, family, man, there was no further argument. He had to admit. Verse 19, it says, "Then Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him.'" It's like telling him, be truthful to God, honor God. You can't hide it from God. Then Achan confessed, but his confession did not help matters. This is what he said in verse 20. Achan replied, "It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel," after he was caught. You know, when you wait to be caught before you confess, people don't trust you. He went on to say, "This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold of about 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." The confession did not help matters. It was too late for Achan. Even though he owned up, him along with his family was stoned to death. They were burnt along with everything they owned, his cattle, sheep, his tent, in the valley of Achor. Troubler. That is the epitaph on his tomb, if you will. Friends, don't be involved in a cover of sin. You see how it has affected his family. What will be remembered of you? Look at the writing on the stone, the troubler of Israel. When you leave, what will people remember about you? Friends, the word of God is clear about delay in repentance. In Proverbs 8:17, it says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Those who seek me early, not late. If you seek him late, you will not find him. The story is a true story, and it's meant to awaken you to the call of a loving father, the call from God who created you. It's telling you, son, daughter, don't wait any longer. Time for repentance may be too late. Be warned. Heed to his warning. Listen to God now. Repent now. Listen to God now. Turn to him. Listen to God now. Surrender completely to him. Listen to God now. Stop sitting on the fence. Listen to God now. Stop that sin now. Listen to God now. Confess that sin. Listen to God now. Don't fall for the lie of the enemy that there is time. Yes, there may be time, but not for repentance, but for judgment. Yes, God is love, but he is also a God of justice. God is patiently waiting, but time is running out fast. Don't be a diehard. Repent now and be saved. To all listening to my voice here or abroad, maybe you are there by yourself listening to this message. It is not a coincidence. It is the good Lord affording you opportunity to repent, to submit, to surrender completely to him, or to continue faithfully in him. He is telling you by this message that he loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The devoted things he has given you, don't misuse them. Stop misusing them. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day for your deliverance from everything you are going through. Don't delay. Do it right now. Will you? Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your patience with me. And I repent for my sins of rebellion, stubbornness, procrastination. Mention them. Lack of trusting in you. Living a double life. For not totally surrendering to you. For turning my back on you. Forgive me. Wash me with your blood. From today, I promise never to go back to that sin. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.